This podcast covers the issue of the relocation of young Uyghur women from the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region of Western China to Eastern China. The podcast includes interviews with specialists and interested individuals, as well as archive material recorded with young Uyghur women in a factory in Eastern China. Dr. Michael Dillon, visiting professor at Tsinghua University, Beijing.
One of the most recent concerns in Xinjiang has been the question of the migration of young women between the ages of, say, 16 and 25 from the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region to other parts of China. This is particularly a concern about Uyghur women who are moving to other parts of China to work. The general context is that there's a mass migration of people around China. It's been estimated that there may be as many as 120 million people moving around China in search of work at any given time. It's an enormous number. It's approximately the population of Japan. So the idea of migrating isn't a particularly controversial one. These young women, like many other young women who move from other parts of China, tend to end up in very poor jobs, low wages, sweatshop conditions, often poor on health and safety. The Chinese government view this as just part of the general migration. Uyghurs in Xinjiang don't. They feel that this is a particular problem, that young Muslim women are being sent, because there's clearly an element of coercion in this. They're being sent to non-Muslim areas of China, and they're worried about the effect this will have on their lives, their morals, and their religion.
I called home and asked them to pick me up because I'm sick, I'm worried, I might die. They went to the country officials and the country officials called our chief here.
What did your chief say? Did she say it isn't true?
Our chief lady told them I am living really well here and what I said is not true.
Now, can you go back home if you want?
If I want, yes, I can.
Then why don't you go back? You are sick here.
I want to go back, but county officials made those remarks that I am lying. I am thinking that I have to obey the government arrangement.
You cannot work. What are you going to do if you stay here?
My parents asked government officials to return me, but the officials refused and made those remarks.
What is your family thinking right now?
They asked me if I am lying or not. I did not lie. I was healthy when I came and I had worked really hard since I came. Now I am sick and this is not my fault. I have not been able to work since Saturday.
Your feet, your body is swollen. Did you tell your family that?
I told them everything and then they went to the government officials. For the first 3 days, my parents worked really hard to bring me back. On Friday, I felt terribly sick. When I was working and the other people told our chef about this, she sent me to take a test, but I got worse and the next day, I called my home, the lady in charge of us, saw this, and I called them and said that I was lying.
Why don't you ask her why she said that?
I couldn't dare to ask.
You should ask that. Did you know the conditions of this place before you came?
No, I didn't want to come. My parents also did not agree, but government officials forced my parents.
Now you are sick.
My parents asked them to allow me to leave and told the official that they would like to come and pick me up.
Now what do you think?
I want to go home.
Do you have money to go back?
I would ask money from my parents.
Why don't they believe you? We all see that you are swollen and sick.
My family believes me. That is why they are working hard to bring me back and asking government officials to allow me to go back. But government officials are threatening my parents and complaining, asking why my parents don't believe the lady in charge of me.
That is mean. All because of this lady in charge of you, right?
The officials gave my parents crap and said, why don't you listen to her leader?
Why did they do that? No matter what, you cannot work anyway.
You look very fortunate.
Amy Rieger, Uyghur Human Rights Project.
Thousands of young Uyghur women were being taken and are, I believe, still being taken in large numbers from, particularly from traditionally Uyghur areas in the south of East Turkestan, to eastern China to work in factories. They're not being properly compensated for their work. And we believe that this is sort of part of an overarching campaign by the Chinese government. It's one of many components of the Chinese government's drive to assimilate Uyghurs into the Han culture and sort of water down traditional Uyghur culture. We're really concerned about the transfer of the young women because while the Chinese government presents this in many official media reports and proclamations as something that is helpful to the young women themselves and to the areas in which they live and to their impoverished families, we see no evidence of any programs whatsoever in the areas that they come from to implement similar types of employment programs or social programs that would improve their welfare in their hometowns or in their hometown areas. So it seems very disingenuous on the part of the Chinese government to suggest that they need to transport these women several thousand miles to the East Coast and then, in fact, not live up to the promises of you know, paying them even a living wage. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And while at the same time, we're also hearing reports in the official media for the past couple of years that thousands upon thousands of Han migrants from provinces such as Gansu and Ningxia and Sichuan and Yunnan, they're bringing them to East Turkestan, to the same areas in which these young Uyghur women are being taken out of. And then these Han in-migrants are brought in to pick cotton with the stated goal that this is to alleviate, you know, their financial difficulties and provide employment for them. Just talking about the cotton program itself, which is totally coordinated by the government authorities. They have these trains that just specifically bring in thousands of these cotton pickers, Han Chinese workers from these other provinces. And so while the Chinese government is bringing these people in to pick cotton, they're sending out these young Uyghur women, and they're not providing any similar opportunities for Uyghur farmers or young Uyghur women or men to pick the cotton that is there in the areas in which they live.
Omar Kanat, Radio Free Asia, Uyghur Service.
Well, first of all, the complaint came from the Uyghurs in Xinjiang. So we have received many calls that the girls are being, you know, forcefully sent from Xinjiang to mainland China, in the cities in mainland China, to the factories in mainland China. But of course, we also investigated. We have investigated, we talked to the officials, but the official version is, of course, very different. And they say that this is a policy to raise the income of the poor people, especially in the villages in the south of Xinjiang, Uyghur Autonomous Region. So it is not a compulsory campaign, it's a voluntary issue. In the official documents, it is not said the girls, Uyghur girls, they say additional workforce. So in Xinjiang. So transfer of additional workforce from the villages from the villages or from the south of Xinjiang to the other parts of the Xinjiang and also to the mainland China. So it is not officially said that in official documents it said that, you know, this is the Uyghur girls are targeted. So it is not the case. But the practice is very different. And we also, we call the villages, we talk to the people, to the girls who are being transferred to the mainland China from villages in southern Xinjiang. We talk to their parents, and also we talk to the local officials. But the local officials and also the parents and also the girls who were sent from Xinjiang to mainland China, they confirmed that this practice is actually a compulsory practice. Because if a family in a village doesn't want to send their children, their daughter or son to the factories they maintain, they will be punished.
How long have you been away from your home?
4 months. No, first we lived in Tianjin where we worked at the White Rose factory. We lived there for 3 months. We received 1 month's payment, but we didn't receive anything for the other 2 months. We held our first month's salary for deposit, and they said they don't post payments, so we only received payment for 1 month. When they brought us, they said we would receive a fixed payment of 500 yuan a month, but after we came, they said we would be paid according to our work. We had to finish the work. They gave us to receive that payment, but it was impossible to finish on time.
How many hours did you work?
We worked over 10 hours every day, and most days we had to work extra. Usually we got off work at 5 o'clock, and then at 6 o'clock we went back to work again for another shift, and worked until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes we worked from the morning to 10 or 11 o'clock in the evening. It was not always the same.
Enver Toti, chairman of the UK Uyghur Association.
It was 2004. One day I was just like usually reading articles from the Chinese websites. And suddenly I have found out there's one article that praising Uyghur girls working very hard, very good in a inner Chinese city 5,000 kilometers away in Guangdong, and praising them making very good progress, and with picture as well. This, first of all, I just feel something strange. Why Uyghur girls, and that was the number of girls was 200, and why such far away in a small county, a small factory, and how this girl find out that they need workers? So this has produced a big question mark in my mind. Then later on, after few months later, I found another one. This time it was in Tianjin. Then I started searching the Xinjiang girls workers. Then I found, of course, this search was in Chinese, and then I have found in Xinjiang local government website saying that county Pezwat County. And they have sent more than 600 Uyghur girls to the inner Chinese city for work. And they are very happy, and they are sending money home now, just like Chinese propaganda.
الحين مضى رصيصة رصيصة بش كذا نكوى أشتاب عدد كان جو قرصة تويدا نكوى تويدا نكوى دقنا يوش لبتاد بزكوى مكافات كتا قلري
We cannot go out. They don't let us. And even if they let us, we have no time. We work 12 hours a day. We only get paid once in these 3 months, and that was 350 yuan. Girls who could not tolerate the condition escaped from here. Approximately 40 girls escaped, and only 5 boys are left.
How many people did they bring in total?
320. There are only 93 left with my son, 94. Some of them complained to the country officials and they took them back. Some of them complained to the county officials that if they don't bring them back, they will escape too. Here, there is no life except work, so no one wants to stay. Work, eat, sleep, and eat and work again. Nothing other than that. I regret I came here. They said we can rest 4 days a month in our contract. But no, they said you guys didn't learn very well and work fast. If you don't work extra, we will miss our deadline. If someone cannot do something well, the Chinese chefs give all of us crap and say Xinjiang people are stupid. We make one sweater in 1 hour and we make it 60 fin. But they sell them for 1,500 yuan each. They make good money, but they give us very little.
You should explain everything to the government officials.
We did. I even called my boss and asked him to come and see the situation with his own eyes. But he said, I would have to pay 5,000 yuan if I went back and I would not be able to get my old job back. Our parents work many years for 5,000 yuan. How would we be able to pay that much money?
How old are these girls?
The youngest girls are 14 years old and the eldest girls are 22. My parents were strongly opposed to sending me, but I did not listen to them. And now I am regretting this so much.
Didn't they force you guys to go?
Mostly they attracted us with very good propaganda. If we work in our county's farm, we can make more money than this. And it's not as hard a job.
We don't believe it's exclusively young women, but they are targeting women from the ages of 16 to 25. And it does mention in official reports that they are targeting young women. I believe that they've justified that in official reports by stating that you know, this type of work will provide them with vocational training for their future use. Besides the fact that we have the official media reports stating that the target ages, we also have our own information that we've gotten from associates and colleagues who've actually gone into China and who have documented these cases through interviews of young women, both in factories in eastern China and I believe also in East Turkestan. One of the stories we had was a young woman who was transferred to Tianjin. She says, I did not want to come. My parents also did not agree, but government officials forced my parents. And there's another story about the father of a young woman named Anisa Tokti. He says she was transferred by village officials together with 212 other young women in March 2007. And when interviewed, he said that he was forced to allow his daughter to leave, but he felt deep regret for that decision. As it says in our report, we've heard accounts that the families of these young women are threatened with the confiscation of their farming lands and the destruction of their houses if they refuse to allow their daughters to participate. And the young women themselves have been threatened with the confiscation of their resident registration cards and the denial of marriage certificates if they did not enter the program. I've also heard stories of family members of young women who were sort of low-level Communist Party cadres being threatened with the loss of their job if the young woman relative either didn't go or broke their contract once they were transferred to the East.
They have punished many people. They told us that the interviewee, the people who we interviewed, the parents, their children, the girls, they said that especially they preferred the girls between 18 and 25. And although the government said all the additional workforce, but the Uyghur girls are targeted, according to the people we have interviewed. We have interviewed many victims, families, their parents. They confirmed that this is the reality in carrying out this policy. The officials always declined to answer our question. In some cases, they they denied this, that this is happening. But we also called the officials in Urumqi. We told them that your local official also confirmed this, this is the case. But they still insist that it is not the case. It is a good policy, a good campaign to raise the living standard of the poor Uyghur villagers, especially in southern Xinjiang. So they insist that this is not the case, but the reality, as I told you, is very different.
We ask the gold, but they don't let us. They're afraid that we may escape. We call this place a prison. We think there is no difference between here and a prison. People who run away can gain freedom, but we get more pressure than. They always place blame on the people who escaped and never search for the reason of the problem for themselves.
Is there any government policy that confiscates the houses of parents to force those who escape to pay fines?
Yes, there is. For example, in our country, there are very small number of people who can get 129 yuan in social assistance every month because they are old, cannot work, have no income, and have no relatives. Some of these people's children came here to work, and some of them escaped. The government not only asked them to pay a fine, but also stopped the social assistance to these people. County officials called me yesterday and asked me to tell these girls to stay and not escape. They also told me that they have stopped the social assistance of the parents whose kids escaped. Most of them were forced to come, but for some of them, their parents were convinced that their daughter would get 200 yuan a month and the girls' rooms would be like a hotel, blah blah. After they came, they learned that everything is totally different.
No one complained?
They just complained to me when county leader Zhang came. He gave a speech and said, "You are doing a good job and that is an honor for your county and parents." Then he left and no one dared say anything.
So they make a contract, a 1 year or 2 year contracts, and then according to contracts, they go to mainland China for 1 or 3 years. It is not permanent. But we got a lot of calls from mainland China, and the girls complained that although they said we signed a contract, for example, they gave us a salary of 900 yuan for a month, even, and or 500 yuan for a month, for 1 year contract, and living place for them, place for lodging and food and also vacation, very good employment contract. They signed the contract, but the people, the firms who hired them, they didn't respect the contract. So they were supposed to work 8 hours a day, for example, but the owners of the factories, the managers, forced them to work for 10 hours, 12 hours. They complained that they didn't pay, overtime for them. Even they couldn't get the salary which was promised by the managers of the factories.
It's supposed to be a year or 2 years, but we we're not sure the contracts will be abided by or have been abided by. I mean, we just started documenting this really about a year or so ago, and so even if the factories and the government follow the contracts, it might not be time yet for the women to leave. But at least we're concerned that, particularly since other aspects of what the women were promised have been violated, we're certainly concerned that, in addition, they might not be released from this work at the time the contract expires. Something that we've seen consistently in official proclamations, and which we saw in a number of these official Chinese media reports that gave an account of hundreds or thousands of women from a particular location being transferred to the East for their own benefit. So in these accounts, officials would quite often talk about how these women came from a backward area, which was somewhat uncivilized, and that one benefit that they would gain from living in the East and working in a factory in the East was they would improve their culture. They would become more civilized. There's this consistent, very patronizing kind of remark that's made about Uyghur women, that by working in the Han Chinese areas and in this Han Chinese culture, then they're going to lose their backward Uyghur ways, and they're going to become civilized.
For the farmers, at the beginning, they may think, "Oh my God, this is really good things. We got to send our daughter away." But for the long term, just women, they will go to inner Chinese city, living in totally alienated environment. And the mentality going to change. And I think this, it is kind of destroying the culture, destroying the foundation of the community without fight, like without real fight.
We have a variety of different reports, and sometimes they're confusing, because even if they give some sort of figure for how many Uyghur women are to be transferred out of East Turkestan for the year, it doesn't even give a figure for Uyghur women. It says something like rensi, which is like it's a word used for a number of trips. So we're not even sure if these kind of figures are referring to actual women or some kind of like the trip of one woman, which we would assume would equal one woman, but we're not sure. But you know, we've seen accounts such as from Radio Free Asia documented this official plan calling for the transfer of 6,000 Uyghur women during the course of 2007. At the time that was documented, the 6,000 women had not yet been transferred, but that was the officially designated plan. So in our report, it notes how 500 young women were transferred from Yarkand County to work in Qingdao and Zhejiang in eastern China, and as part of the plan, 6,000 Uyghur women. But we really don't have an overall figure, unfortunately. We just get all of these different accounts that say several thousand here or several hundred here, and and we're getting so many of these reports that we can obviously see it's a large number.
We have a story about a girl who was transferred from a village in Kashgar to a factory in a big city in mainland China, and then she escaped from that factory because of the working conditions, and then she couldn't find a job, then choose to be a prostitute. Yeah, it's a very sad story. Also, she suggested, and also she called for other parents in the Xinjiang not send your girls to the mainland China. So a difficult situation, a dark future are waiting for them.
This type of program doesn't serve the Chinese government well in bringing about any type of social stability in traditional Uyghur areas, because according to Uyghur culture, it's just traditionally not done to send young Uyghur women in their late teens or early 20s away from the family, not to mention sending them thousands of miles away without the accompaniment of any family member. They view it as very offensive, deeply offensive to their culture and their traditions.
After the Chinese one-child policy, this one-child policy has produced 50 million more men than women. And this one-child policy generation now is in the age of looking for wives. And I don't have evidence, but I just feeling that this is something got to do with that. Otherwise, why should they bother to only take girls to inner China city? What is the real reason behind this? Why the brother taking these old girls? And why is that under one condition, not married? Isn't this enough to trigger some alarm?
The Chinese authorities have been pretty insensitive to the ethnic issue and take the view that there's no reason why Uyghur women should be treated in any different way to, for example, women, Han women from Guizhou province, which is a poor province which sends labour to other parts of China. Clearly, what people in Xinjiang are afraid of is that these women will move away from what is essentially an Islamic environment into a more secular one, and that in the same way that migration into Xinjiang is diluting the Islamic Uyghur nature of Xinjiang, that the migration of young Muslim women out of Xinjiang will contribute to the same effect.
What will happen if the Uyghur young men cannot find a wife? Or if the Uyghur young men, they have found that Chinese government has taken all the wives into inner Chinese city, what will happen? Till that time, I can't imagine. Only I can imagine is the ethnic cleansing. The definition of ethnic cleansing applies to the Chinese such policy very well.